tree jazz. Ideally, the sawyer, that person at the sawmill turning trees into lumber, is looking for a gorgeous boule, a straight section of trunk from the top of the roots until it splits into limbs, preferably with no branches. This straight section of growth holds the best possibility for straight grain with no knots, bends, or other defects that can make cutting more difficult. As you may know, the layers of wood accumulate in concentric rings, with each ring representing a year of growth. It stands to reason, then, that depending upon how you orient those rings as they are passed through a mill saw, the resultant ring lines, or grain, will determine the stability and the aesthetic qualities of the cut board. Examine the cut end of a board, seeing what we call the end grain. If it runs more horizontally across the board, that is known as flat sawn timber, which is more prone to cupping and twisting, but can yield beautiful patterns known as cathedrals. Conversely, if the grain runs perpendicular to the face of the board, this is known as quarter sawn material, which is considered the most structurally stable. The grain will appear as tight parallel lines, which is quite handsome in its own right. Quarter sawn material is so called because the log is cut into quarters before being sliced into boards. Splitting the difference are rift sawn sticks, in which the grain falls across the end of the board at 45 degrees. This grain is ideal for squared off furniture parts like table and chair legs, as it combines stability with the attractiveness of equal grain striping down all four sides. Now, let's take a look at this personality that wood can exhibit. First of all, attention must always be paid to wood's inexorable tendency to expand and contract with the changing humidity. Simply put, wood is made up of organic fibers that run up and down the tree like drinking straws. I always encourage people to imagine a handful of uncooked spaghetti. If you imagine that spaghetti soaked with water, you know that it won't increase in length nearly as much as it will increase in width. Or put another way, the strands get much fatter, then they grow longer. Thus, when the humidity increases, wood fibers drink in water from the air and expand. When the humidity drops, the wood expels water and consequently contracts. This is why the doors and windows in your home might stick shut during humid seasons, whilst they swing freely when it's dry outside. This phenomenon must absolutely be respected at all times because you cannot defeat this force. The Jedi Knights have nothing on wood movement. To give you an idea of the strength of this ebb and flow, since the time of ancient civilizations like Greece and Egypt, one way to split out massive blocks of granite has been with wood movement. One need only drill strategically located deep holes, pound in a wooden dowel, then soak its end grain with water until the force of the swelling wood fibers actually splits the granite. Amazing. It has therefore been with great respect that throughout the ages of our education and working with wood, men and women have come up with some very clever ways to build furniture that will dependably perform its desired function while allowing the wood to expand and contract according to its want. The other critical factor when it comes to inflicting tools upon wood is the grain direction. Unless you're riving green wood with a froe, see Peter Galbert, chances are that your grain is not perfectly parallel to your board length. If the grain is even slightly squirrely, it might well run on and off the edge of the board. Let's switch our wood grain metaphor from a handful of spaghetti to a cat. Cats are nice, right? Sometimes. As you may or may not know, if you pet a cat's fur from head to tail, the hair lies down naturally and the cat likes it. If you rub your hand from tail to head, however, it's unnatural and awkward. The hair fibers stand up uncomfortably, and the cat does not like it, at least most of the cats I have known. They call that ill-advised petting, rubbing the cat against the grain. This is because they have read my chapter, this very one you're delighting in right now. I have heard tell of cats that actually enjoy this petting against nature, and they are actually legally prohibited from using litter boxes in some southern states, but perhaps that will be covered in the next book. Similarly, if you take a sharp chisel and shave it along a board in the direction the grain is lying, then it will shave nicely. And if you're very quiet, you might even hear the board purr. But if you go against the grain, then the chisel will catch and tear out the wood or split the board or hurt your feelings in any number of unfortunate ways. With this in mind, you should always understand the grain direction in your material and how then your tool will address that grain. It's especially crucial when using a planer, joiner, or router, not to mention a chisel, plane, or spoke shave. After you've been brought to tears often enough, it'll become a matter of course for you to discern the grain direction every time you're about to lay steel to wood or wood to steel. There are multiple ways to discern the grain direction visually, but the ultimate test is to let the tool tell you if you're right or wrong. If you are indeed in the wrong, then simply flip your piece and address the grain in the opposite direction.